So what I would like to do in Parshat Tzav is really to share some of the major ideas, the major themes of Parshat Tzav in general, and really of Karbanos as a whole. So Sefer Vayikra, of course, is mostly about the beginning of Vayikra Tzav and through parts of Shemini are about the Karbanos, the role of Karbanos, you know, how things were offered, when they were offered, time frames, halachos, things like that. Shmini, we have Nadav and Avihu, but so Achimos, Kedoshim, it's all really about Karbanos. So first I want to start from the backwards in Jewish history, from the day that we stopped offering Karbanos, just to give an idea, an introduction, as to the importance, the significance, the chashivas of Karbanos. The day that we stopped offering Karbanos, the Karban Tamid, the day we stopped offering the Karban Tamid was Shavasar B'Tamas. So we know that the Mishnah Tainus tells us that five very bad things happen on Shavasar B'Tamas. And one of those five things that made it a very sad day was that it was the time that the Karban Tamid stopped being offered. They didn't have any more animals. Right? The Romans had laid siege to, Yerushalayim. And they completely suffocated Yerushalayim out. And at some point, the flock of animals that could be offered in the daily routine of the Beis HaMikdash, that diminished. And one day, on Shavasar B'Tamuz, they ran out. So sad, it tells us, this is one of the five bad things that happened on Shavasar B'Tamuz. Why is that one of the five bad things? If I were to ask you to list five bad things that happened on different days, right? There's no battle, nobody died. Why is this so bad? So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein explained that we are built, even though we have moments in our calendar year that are exciting, well, Purim and a Pesach, Yom Kippur and Ne'ilah, things like that, or Rosh Chodesh even. We're built on consistency. The idea of Karbanos, specifically the Karban Tamid, that was offered every single day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, that represented a consistency, you know, in our religious life. So bad that when we cannot offer that Karban anymore on the 17th of Tammuz, That ends normal religious life. And this idea of consistency, we mentioned this a little while ago, is based on this medrash that appears in Yaakov. It doesn't really seem to appear anywhere else. When the machlok is in the Tanayim, what is the most important pasuk? So Ben Zoma said it's Shema Yisrael. Ben Nena said it's V'havta L'Recha Kamocha. Or Rabbi Kiva Ben Azai says that it's this pasuk about the Karban Tamid. And the Maharal in the Nesivos Olam explains that serving Hashem b'smidus hagamor, that serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a daily consistency, that is the most important thing. That as much as it's great to have these other moments that are exciting and are, you know, have a little bit more energy to them, but we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only in the passionate times, but in the everyday, even in the small things that we do. And that's the idea of the Karban Tamid. The Karbanos in general really were meant for us to connect with our Kadosh Baruch Hu on a very daily presence. So that's just an idea, you know, thinking a little bit backwards. But as we approach all these Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Purim, there is a lot of preparation that goes in and a lot of excitement that goes in. But it's all these halachos, all the nitty gritty that sometimes we get, you know, we feel it's a little bit dry and a little bit, you know, overwhelming. But really is where we connect with Ribono Sholom on a daily level. So just to give a bit of an introduction in general to Karbanos, then we'll talk a little bit about Parshat Tzav, but the idea of Karbanos in general, last week we did a Purim Shir, so we didn't do Vayikra. So there is a very well-known machlokas about the role of Karbanos in general. Right? The role of Karbanos in general has to do with if you follow the path of offering Karbanos. You have Karbanos in the beginning of Bereishis. You have Karbanos with Kain and Hevel that are offering something to the Ribono Sholem. You have Noach and Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov that are offering Karbanos. You have the Karban Pesach that happens in Mitzrayim. Before we get to a Beis HaMikdash and we get to the Mishkan and the different animals and the reasons we're bringing and a Shlamim and a Toda and a Chatas, but already beforehand, we have Karbanos that are built into to the Torah. And the question is, what is the goal of Karbanos? So the Rambam, in two different places, so on the one hand, the Rambam famously tells us at the end of Hilchos Mi'ilah, in Parachas Halacha Chesef Hilchos Mi'ilah, the Rambam tells us that there are certain things that we really can't find any meaning for, right? Chukim, Chukim hena mitzvos she'ein ta'aman yadua. We don't really know what they are. We don't really try to understand them. For example, v'chol ha'karbanos kulan nichlal ha'chukim hein. Right? The Rambam explains that karbanos are a chok. We don't really understand the commandment to bring this karban, or why this animal versus that animal, but we have it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do it. We follow that order, and we bring certain karbanos. However, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, in the third perek, explains something else. Now, it's interesting to know that the Rambam includes this only in the Mor Nevuchim. He does not include this in the Mishnah Torah, that this is the halacha. But this is what he says. He says that Hashem commanded us to bring karbanos, sacrifices, in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? He says, most religions at that time, when the Jews are leaving Mitzrayim, those nations, right, Moshe takes the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim so that they become the Am Segula. The goal of becoming an Am Segula was to serve only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The religions of those times, in the ancient times, was they served their gods with animal sacrifices. That is how they went about serving their own gods, whatever they were doing. So for Hashem to tell the Jews, okay, we're coming out of Mitzrayim, no more animals, right? You're just going to worship me. It's very difficult. It's trying to tell Hashem, daven now, you know, relate to me, but don't daven. We wouldn't know what to do. So that form of service that existed, this is a very wild opinion of the Rambam, and it's probably why it's only included in the Mishnah Torah, not in the Mor Nevuchim, and not in the Mishnah Torah, but the Rambam is saying that the worship of animals happened in other nations of the time. Were we to go cold turkey, no pun, were we to go cold turkey and say, no more animals, that would be very difficult. How would we relate? So what does Hashem do? Hashem transforms that service into a service that is for the Ribono Shel Olam. Meaning, I want you to use animals, but I want you to use them the way that I'm going to ask it. You know, like a little bit like we learned about the ego. So when the Jews went on their own, not as Avodah Zarah, but when the Jews decided that they wanted to worship something, Hashem says, okay, we'll create the Mishkan like Rashi says, and I follow exactly as I say. I know you want something, but make it how I want you to make it. So the Rambam's providing a reason for these karbanos, and that is what the people of the times were doing. And he says, as a nafgamina, as a ramification, he says, that the goal is not to just offer the sacrifice. Meaning in other religions, the goal would be, I have an animal, and I offer the animal. And after that, it's done. I did the worship, I offered it up, done, I finished it. The goal of karbanos, the Rambam is saying, is even if it involves an animal or something like that, the goal is to get close with God. So as a ramification of this idea, the Rambam says the karbanos are not the ideal. And that's why you could only offer the karban in the Beis HaMikdash with the Kohen, the agent of Hashem. You couldn't just sort of do it wherever you wanted, whenever you wanted. Because really the goal is ultimately to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. And then the Rambam says, he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu tells us that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, he's yelling at the people because they're offering an abundant amount of sacrifices and that their ancestors were not really commanded. Kilo dibarti esav oseichem, perek zayin of Yirmiyahu. Kilo dibarti esav oseichem, velo tzivisi biyom, hotziot meret esam adivri olav azavach. When I freed your ancestors, I didn't speak with them about karbanos. Rather, kimas adavar hazet tivisel neimar shemu bekoli. Listen to me, tivisel lachem leluhim. I'll be your God, and you'll be my nation. How could Yirmiyahu and Avi claim that Hashem did command them the offering of karbanos? So the Rambam says, no. What Yirmiyahu and Avi is doing, he's alluding to the distinction between the real role, like the primary role of karbanos, and the secondary purpose of karbanos. The karbanos are secondary. The goal is to get close with the Ribono Shel Olam. Yirmiyahu HaNavi's constituents, although they were offering karbanos, were not getting the primary lesson of connecting with Hashem. So he's saying Hashem didn't command them just to offer sacrifices. Hashem commanded them to develop, to enhance, to create that deep relationship that you should have with Him. So in summary, the Rambam's approach is that karbanos are commanded as a means of service because that's what people were accustomed to. They were not the objective part of the law. And that's why only a specific people, a specific time, in a specific place are able to do them. That's the Rambam. Now, the others take issue with this Rambam. The Ramban, for example, and others, and the Ritva, and other Rishonim take issue with this Rambam because that doesn't make sense. The ultimate goal of karbanos is, as Rav Hirsch says, the word karev is to come close. That the goal was, it's a positive mitzvah, when you bring a karban, that whether, like, as the Ramban says, you view yourself, I sinned, I did something wrong, I should be sacrificing myself, but I can't. So when I send up the animal in my place, it has elements of tshuva connected with it, and, you know, feelings of that this should be me. So there is a positive aspect, forgetting what they were worshiping at the time. There is a positive aspect to karbanos, and that positive aspect is that we are doing things in the place of ourselves, whether it's a chatas, or I want to offer the karban toda. Something great happened to me, and I want to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, the Netziv famously says that the karban toda, which is in this week's parsha, the karban toda is the most amount of meat in the least amount of time. Why is the most amount of meat in the least amount of time? Because as I offered the karban, and then I brought my karban home. So I have a ton of meat, but at some point it becomes nosar. I can't eat after the prescribed amount of time. 2 days, one night, 2 days, however much time each of your karbanos were. So the toda was just a little bit of time. Because I came home, I have all of this meat, and I'm not going to eat it myself. So I knocked on my neighbor's door, and my neighbor came in, and my neighbor says, oh my gosh, why do you have this meat? Let me tell you. I have this meat because this great thing happened to me. What happened to you? Let me explain. And then I tell them that Hashem saved me. And then I spread the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam more. So the Ramban, the Ritva, and many other Rishonim take issue with this Rambam. They believe that its goal was, what the goal is, the goal was to create a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to feel myself as being up there. And nothing to do with the feelings that's what the Jews were accustomed to, during those times. The role of karbanos, actually, as a side note, is a fascinating history in terms of as the Reform movement started to form in the 1800s, it is something that they were against. Meaning, and you see this in the Siddur. So, you know, the first Siddur that we have, right, the real Siddur was not really written until the 800s. Rav Avram Gon, in response to a community in Spain, that they don't really know how to daven, what to daven, they needed a Siddur. So the Siddur is like it's like Torah Shval Peh, right? It's passed down. That's what it became. So the big change in the Siddur, from then really until the 1500s, was when you have in the Arizal, that idea of Nusach Sfard. Now, leaving that aside, that could be its own, you know, 3-hour-long shir. But in the beginning of the 19th century, in the 1800s, the Reform movement began. And really in the beginning, Reform, and it's important to know this historically, Reform Judaism in the beginning, in the early to mid-1800s, is Reform Orthodoxy. So the drasha is not in Yiddish anymore, it will be in German, right? And the Siddur will, instead of going right to left, we'll go left to right, we'll go right to left, like in England. Okay, fine. But at the first Reform temple is in Hamburg in 1818, and that's really all they did. It opened from left to right. That was it. However, at the Breslau Conference, as things begin to develop, they begin to create their own Siddurim. And they had a problem with Musaf. Because Musaf really commemorates Karbanos. So we say, right, we can't do it anymore, but eventually we're going to offer Karbanos. Now the Reform movement did not like that. Why? It sounded barbaric, old-fashioned. So in the original Siddur, in like the early 1800s, it has Musaf, and it has it. By 1840s-ish around, the Reform movement is very uncomfortable, and they do is they take out parts of Musaf. Take out anything about animals, because they felt, now it's been put back in. But as they were developing, the 1860s of the conference in Breslau, where a lot of changes happened to the Reform movement, to the Siddur of the Reform movement, you find this change. It's very interesting because they also took out a few other things. In particular, something we're seeing right now. Right, so first of all, in a later they took out Shalawasano, I could go Yeharatzos, because that's particularistic, we're universal. In the bracha of Yushalayim Ircha, we say Yushalayim Ircha, Birachamim Toshuv. Toshuv means to return. I might be living in Hamburg, I might be living here, but I want to go back to Israel. But for the Reform movement, you were first a German, and then you were a German Jew, not a Jewish German. So they took out the word Toshuv. They did not want to sound Zionistic. They did not want to sound that they wanted to return. So they, in the early editions of the Reform movement Siddur, it says Yerushalayim Ircha Berachamim Tifne. Tifne means I'll turn to you, I'll wave, and I'll look, and I'll think about it. But my heart is I'm in German. And this way it sounded more loyal, more patriotic to your home country. And Israel is, yeah, it's a place you can turn to, but not necessarily something that you want to return to. Okay, either way, it eventually makes its way back, back into the Seder. So this is the machlokas between the Rambam and between the Ramban and others, sort of what's this whole idea about Karbanos. And something else we know from the beginning of the parsha. The Torah tells us, to share with you an amazing kutzker. The Torah tells us, Tzavis ha'arav yasban of lemar, Zos Torah sa'ola, this is the rule of the Ola, Al mokda al mizbeach kol alayla, that it stays on the flame the entire night. And if you look in the Torah, the word mokda has a little letter mem. That's what tradition tells us. A mem zeira, a small little mem. So the Kutsk Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Mendel of Kutsk in the 18th to 19th century, he says that the word mokda really refers to the fire of enthusiasm. Hey, the Chassam Sofer makes a very similar comment in Parshas Vayakel. Lo suvaru esh means if you don't have enough, if you don't build up your fire for the week, your Shabbos is going to be lacking. Either way, so the Kutzker says that it means fire of enthusiasm. So then why is it small? It should be big, very big enthusiasm, right? A lot of islavos and energy. So he explains, the mem is written small that to indicate that inspiration is often overrated. What matters is not much how inspiration I feel, but how much it translates into tangible improvements and accomplishments, right? It's not hard sometimes to get inspired. It could be a kumzitz, it could be a shir, it could be a davening. I can get inspired, but the question is really, can I keep being inspired? Can I take that with me? Because eventually it doesn't stay the same level of inspiration. And it's very important because generally, right, we live in a world where we like to do things fast and quick and you know, grandiose. But really, you know, a healthy avodas Hashem is that things are moving slowly but surely. And that the growth that I feel is put into practical, steps. And that improves slowly and slowly and slowly. So that's the concept. The Tam Vidas from Moshe Sturmbach says the following. He says, the mem is small because the fire that we have, the passion for avodas Hashem, should not be unnatural. Right? Or all at once. It's the beginning. It can be small and eventually really it can, it can grow over time. They tell a great story. The Leno the Shabbach shares a story from the Slonimer Rebbe. Slonimer Rebbe passed away about 25 years ago, the Nesivo Shalom, that a chassid had a lot of aspirations. But his life kept being a lot of disappointments. So it didn't work. So he went to the Rebbe and he says to the Rebbe, what's going to come? What's going to be of all my dreams and aspirations? I saw this once on Michal Horowitz's stuff on the Parsha. So he will say, here lies a man of aspirations. And he says, if I saw a grave that said, a life of aspirations, I would go daven at that cave. Because it's not easy to have aspirations. The word mokda is small because growth and inspiration, it takes time. It takes time to build up, to build up to those things. So the Torah continues and tells us the following. The Torah tells us that as part of the karbanos, the Torah says that we also have another one of the shalshelas. It's very important because there's four shalshelas in the Torah. There's four shalshelas in the Torah. Each shalshelas, right, where it goes up and down three times, up and down three times. So there's only four. Three are in Bereishis, right? Three are in Bereishis, whether that is Lot, right, with his wife, when his wife is leaving, when him and his wife are leaving, it says Vayis Mahama. He hesitates, he delays leaving. That's one. You have Yitzchak.
Hold on a second.
You have it with Yitzchak, as the pasuk says that when Vayomar, as Yitzchak and Eliezer is looking for a wife, the Torah says Vayomar. It also has a Shalsheles, and you have Yosef. When Yosef is having the issue with Eshes Potiphar, it also says Vayimoin. The Shalsheles Shrub represents hesitation, right? There is a moment of hesitation. So with Lot, for example, as he's looking back to Sodom, you know, he chooses Sodom because he desires it, he wants it, it's this great place, it has all this allure, oh my gosh, Sodom. So as he's leaving, he might know that it's the right thing, but he hesitates a little bit. His wife, by the way, who does not hesitate because she fully looks back, she stays. She stays as a pillar of salt. So that's hesitation number one. Eliezer, when they're looking for their wife, there's a hesitation, right? Is this the right test that I'm putting? Who's going to do the right chesed? And Yosef's hesitation is very clear. He's had a very difficult life. He was in a hole in a dungeon, and then here he in a pit. You know, here he has the potential to get together with Eshes Potiphar, maybe, you know, change his life for the better. So he hesitates a little bit before he knows, obviously, what's the right thing to do. What is the challenge here of this hesitation? What hesitation is there? What hesitation is there in the pasuk saying Vayishchot? So it could very well be that this hesitation is the passing of the generations, of the passing of the Mesorah, the responsibility that we have in these parshios as it shifts from just Moshe and Aaron to the next generation. It's an awesome responsibility, and we're always being, you know, thinking and asking and making sure that we are doing enough to pass down all of this Mesorah to the next generation. So these are some of the basic ideas, really, about karbonos, about the role of karbonos, the Rambam, the Ramban, the idea of Aaron Lichtenstein, of the consistency of karbonos, what each karbon was used for. But I actually want to focus on something, because I said we never get a chance to learn Tzav, and because of that, we never get a chance to learn the Haftorah for Tzav. Now, I know this is a Parsha Shir in general, but there is a beautiful, fascinating Haftorah this week, and it is worth sharing a little bit about this Haftorah. The Haftorah is from Sefer Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is the author of three Svarim. Sefer Yirmiyahu, of course, Melachim, and Eicha. Yirmiyahu Navi is born on Tisha B'Av. He is one of eight Nevi'im to be a descendant of Rachav, one of the righteous converts who married Yehoshua. And the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed during his life. You read through Sefer Yirmiyahu, it's his, you know, trying to get the Jews to be better and to do tshuva and to listen to him. And then eventually it's destroyed. He still tries to get them and they all listen to him and they call him a liar at the end. Why is this Haftorah chosen for Tzav? Well, number one, we said this pasuk earlier, Yirmiyahu HaNavi laments the karbonos that are not sincere. Right? That Jews are offering karbonos, but they don't really seem to care. And they're doing it just to do it. As we said from the Rambam, that's not the goal. If I'm doing a karbon, if I'm offering a karbon, and I'm just doing it to do it, and this, by the way, is a huge problem we have in for sure today. We've always had it. You know, we could daven and give tzedakah and learn and do all these things, but if it's not sincere and it's not genuine and it's not impacting me and it's not changing me and it's not improving me, then what's it doing? If I just daven to say that I davened, you know, that I just to check it off my list, then I checked it off my list, but I didn't do it. So that's one aspect. But Yirmiyahu HaNavi does a little bit more. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, right, Kilo dibarti esav aseichel tzivisi biyom, I didn't command them, al divri olav ezavach. What does that mean? That Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not command them about karbanos. Vayikra, tzav, we have parshios about karbanos. So what does it mean that Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, Kilo dibarti esav aseichem, what does this mean? They weren't commanded in any kind of karbanos. So the first answer is, how can Yirmiyahu say, right, that God did not command them? So the Rambam is our first answer. No, because they're not doing it right. When they offer sacrifices, and they're still worshiping Avodah Zarah, and they're not eradicating it, and it has no value. What value is that? To offer a carbon, I sinned, here's my carbon chatas. Now let me go ahead You know, somebody asked me the other day, jokingly, you know, what about if you're very, very careful in like Lashon Hara? You know, could you then do another sin because, all right, it will weigh itself out. Right? So Yirmiyahu HaNavi is telling them, Hashem wanted you to bring a karban for connection, for relationship, for something to do, you know, to enhance that together. You're offering karbanos, but then doing X, Y, and Z that are forbidden. So how does that help? And therefore, that's not exactly why we were commanded for karbanos. But there's another answer also. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, on the day we left, Hashem didn't discuss karbanos. Yes, there was a karban Pesach. But it's not really until later that we have the Mishkan and Karbanos, and for sure, Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, if you go back to the way the order is played out, we got the Torah in Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Mishpatim, we got all the interpersonal stuff, Binatim the Chavero, and Truma to the end of Truma to Tzavik, Kisisa, Vayakal, Bekudei. It's Karbanos and Mishkan. Right? We say, Ve'ela Mishpatim, the Kliyakar says, because these halachos of karbanos are said before the karbanos. Why? Yirmiyahu HaNavi is teaching them that ben adam l'chaviro isn't just as important as ben adam l'makom. It's potentially more important. Meaning, it doesn't mean that you can only have ben adam l'chaviro and will be okay. You need ben adam l'makom. You need both. But it also means that we have a certain dignity to how we treat each other. Right, for example, the role of karbanos, the karban chatas and the karban ola. One was done for a sin, one was done completely for Hashem. Because they were brought to the same exact place. Because if the karban chatas had its own section, there goes Leitag, the sinner. He's going again. He's always bringing a karban chatas. Nobody should be embarrassed. The Mishkan had a secret room where money was given and received. You walked in, and no one knew if you were giving money, if you were receiving money. When we bow down in the times of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, right? The miracle was that we bowed down and there was always enough room. There might not have been enough room. Standing up, we were packed like sardines. But when I bowed down, there was enough room. And Rashi explains, so that when I bow down and I whispered my own very personal, heartfelt tefillah in my own life, I don't want you hearing it. We understood in the role of the Mishkan is not as much as we think that of every place in the world that we have, the most Ben Adam L'makom will exist in the Mishkan. It's V'asali Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham, it's Karbanos to Hashem. The short answer is, everything is about our connection with each other, not only with the Ribono Sholem. So the first way to approach it is, of course, you have to be a good person. You have to be nice and kind and sensitive and caring, compassionate, helpful, right? But the second answer is, no. I have to respect people's religious philosophies and where they are. And I have to expect that everybody is in different places. The Ben Adam L'Chaveru parts of my Avodas Hashem shouldn't just be used to make sure that I'm not mean to someone, but should be used as a way to lift each other up together. When two people brought karbanos, there was privacy, right? And no one knew. He's doing a chatas, or maybe he wants to dream big, and he's bringing a karban ola. When people bowed down together, you should not hear my personal tefillah. Yirmiyahu HaNavi looked around, and he sees that the Jewish people are too focused on ben adam l'makom, and not enough on ben adam l'chavero. And he reminds them that God didn't only command us about ben adam l'makom, but the entire ben adam l'makom component is also predicated on my Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And it is built into the fabric of the Mishkan and into how we offer the Karbanos. And I'll add a sort of like a final piece, which is probably the most important. It's not only that I have to be a good person and I have good midos. That's number one. It's not only that I respect where everybody else is, that I don't think that I'm better, that I don't know that guy's a giver or a receiver. I don't know if you offer a chatas or an ola. But even deeper than that, we realize that we need each other in our Ben Adam L'Chavero to accomplish a better Ben Adam L'Makom. That Ben Adam L'Chavero impacts my ability to have a deeper relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Right, we'll say in a few weeks in Parshas Kedoshim that the idea of Kedoshim was Sevel Chol Adas B'nei Yisrael, because it is only something that we can do when together we can accomplish great things in Kedusha. So my ben adam lechaveiro, if it's at a better place, if I'm together about it, if we're in a growth mindset together, then my ben adam lechaveiro will impact the ben adam lamakam together. And that's really what the goal of the Mishkan and the goal of the Karbanos was. It wasn't only to make me feel my own relationship with Hashem, but ultimately with everybody else around me. So these are some of the highlights of Parshas Tav. You have first the role of Karbanos and the Karban Tamid, for example, just the consistency, the daily avoda that is so important in our Jewish life. You know, Simon Sinek, one of the great like motivational speakers today, talks about whether or not you brush your teeth once a month, or once before you go to the dentist, or every single day, or whether you work out every other month for 7 hours straight, or every day for 20 minutes. The consistency is the most important part. Right, and that's the role of Karbanos. Then you have the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, as to the nature of Karbanos. While the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah tells us, gotta be very careful, we don't really look after reasons. He does suggest something, the more Nevuchim of the times of the, you know, that the Jews were living in, and sort of shifting that into the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban and others that take issue with that approach of the Rambam. The goal generally of Karbanos, of the Karban Todah, which was done with a little bit of time, with a lot of meat, to like create more and more thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the small mem of Mokta, and this idea of the Haftorah, that the Ben Adam Lechaveiro aspect, the importance of why we have the Mishkan, of why we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash, that it was really what we're done together in that place, will eventually help and enhance my own Ben Adam Lamakom.